So it's with great pleasure that I introduce my darling wife, Janine, and I know she's got something really special that God has put on our heart. So let's just have our ears and our eyes and our hearts open to what the Lord has put on our heart.
Thank you, darling. Well, good morning, everyone. You see, I've brought all my goodies and stuff. I just want to say again, thank you so much to the elders. I know Chris is busy working today, but his heart, as always, is with us on a Sunday, and for Mark, and of course, my darling husband, giving me, just thank you to the Lord for giving me the incredible privilege of being able to share and speak with you this morning. So before we do, let's pray. And Lord, I just thank you again that you are God, and that you will do what you will do, and that your word is true. And so, Lord, I just say that whatever is of you, would it come through loud and clear, and would it stick? And if there be anything of me, Lord, would it be like Teflon, and it would just not have any effect? But, Lord, come, have your way, and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this past several weeks, we've been doing a series on the righteousness of God. And Mark spoke a bit on different aspects and of righteousness, how it was revealed by salvation and through condemnation, believe it or not, and through justification. And then Chris spoke on how righteousness is revealed in sanctification. And Michael spoke last week on how righteousness, God's righteousness, is revealed in sovereign choice. And this week I have the great privilege of talking on how God's righteousness is revealed in transformed living. But before I want to speak to you about God's righteousness and how it is revealed in our living, I want to make sure that we all actually are on the same page and that we understand about what this is that we're talking about. What does it mean, this God's righteousness? So if we can go to slide 2. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, which is on the screen, but if you want to look in your Bible. In Romans 5, 15 to 18, it says, "But God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many." That's us. Now, is the free gift at all to be compared to the effect of that one man's sin? For the sentence following the trespass of one man brought condemnation, whereas the free gift following many transgressions brings justification, an act of righteousness. For if because of one man's trespass, that's Adam, his lapse or offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Well then, as one man's trespass, one man's false step and falling away led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. So I wanted to example something for you, and if you've seen this already, you'll just have to bear with me, because it's critical that we understand what it means to be the righteousness of God. Well, before I do that one, actually, I have something else here. Because if you noticed in our slide, in the up there, I've highlighted free gift. Because it's very important that we understand. By the way, I'm just putting these out here. If anyone would like them, they're a free gift. And if you want them, please feel free to come up and get them. Whoever gets them, gets them. And once they're gone, they're gone. But they're free. So feel free at any time just to come up. Help yourself. They're very good. Now, if you notice when something's free, help. There's another one over there. Help. Notice that when you hear something's free, what, if you're like me, what's your initial response? You know, I don't know. See, it took them a bit to get moving, right? Because you think free, come on, nothing. What do I tell my children? Nothing is free, okay? You're going to pay at some point. You're going to pay for it. There's nothing free in this life. So we have this mentality, right? It's not free. So first of all, they see me put it down there, and they're kind of like, there's this bit of skepticism, right? But then what happens? There's this revelation. It's free? Like, you mean it's like really free? And they get revelation. What happens? Boom, they run off. They grab it. It's free. I got it, you know? And I'm sure if I had a whole bunch of them here, and they went out, and someone said, oh, where'd you get that? Oh, it's Janine's giving away free CDs. It's Jessica. They're fantastic. It's my daughter. What can I say? They're free CDs. They're great. Just go in there. You'd go and you'd tell people, and they'd come in there. Can I have one? Can I have one? Well, you know, God's righteousness is so much better. But it's the same thing. You know, we hear it's a free gift. But somewhere along the line in our minds, we still kind of think, if again, like me, if you're like me at all, that is it really free? Or is there something I have to do at some point to make this work? That I got to add it somewhere along the line. I need to add something of me, because you know what? Nothing is free. And wouldn't it be wonderful that when we get that revelation that it is in fact free, and it's so much better than a CD, that we would run and we would grab it, and then we would be like, oh, it's free. Look what I got, right? I got it for free. And you know, people then would be like, what did you get? And it's like, look what I got. I got the CD. I got it for free, but we got something better. It's, I've got God's righteousness. Because you know, in the Bible, it tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so one way I wanted to just example that for you, because again, we have to understand what that means. So now we know that it's free. So you don't have to worry that you didn't do the right thing. So you don't have it because you didn't do something. Okay? That's gone. It's free. It's yours. It's given. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's yours. Period. You don't have to do anything. So just work with me on this one here. Let's just say, for exampling, this is me. This is you. This is us. Okay? This bottle here. And the exterior of this bottle is our physical body, because we are a triune being, right? We're spirit, soul, and body. The cap, let's say that's our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. And inside, I've accepted Jesus. So I'm actually born again. I'm filled. And there's my spirit man has come alive. And so the water is my spirit man. And so if you look at that water, how does that look to you? Clear, clean, okay, because I am the righteousness of God now. All right, I'm clean. I am in right standing with God. Always, forever, nothing changes that. So my spirit man is in right standing with God. That's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. But again, you may not be, I'm just talking it for myself here, so you may not be anything like me. But even though my spirit man is in right relationship with God always, I still, because I am not perfect yet, God's working on me, and I will never be perfect until I'm in his presence in heaven. But, so what happens is my body, I will do things sometimes with my body that I shouldn't do. And so we'll call that sin. And for those of you who agree, like chocolate is sinful, right? So, you know, I get stained. And then sometimes, you know what? I may even think things or put things into my mind, and it gets stained. So you see, my body and my soul can still get dirty. But look at my spirit man. Has my spirit man changed at all? Because it doesn't matter what I've done. Because I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, my spirit man, I am right with God. This does not change that. Okay, so you can't go around beating yourself up when you do stuff wrong, because it does not change your standing with God as far as being his righteousness in Christ. Because our righteousness is not dependent on what we do, what we think, what we say. We'll deal with that later. But our righteousness, our right standing, depends solely on Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. Chris is going to get me for that. But God doesn't want us to stay like this. So he does something amazing. He tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. And what does he do? He forgives us our sin. And then he does this most amazing thing. Because he's God. And because he can, and because he likes to do amazing things, and because he loves us, he says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Like, doesn't that just boggle your mind? You know, I've memorized that scripture because, and I would recommend you do too, because when you do stuff wrong, the devil will come back and he'll say to you, nah, you can't be forgiven for that because it's too big a thing, or you've done it 20 times already. You think God's going to still forgive you? Come on. He's got a, you know, he's got a limited number of forgiving times. You keep doing that, he's going to at a certain point just get fed up and say, forget it. You're just a lost cause. Well, that's a lie, you see, because his word says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just. And not only does he forgive me my sin every single time, even if I've done it 150 times, the 151st time I confess him, he forgives. And you know what? Eventually he'll help me work it out so I stop doing it. And he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And I get to start again. Because he is God and he is good and he loves each one of us. And as Kevin was saying, you know, he has a destiny for each one of us. And he doesn't want us to be mired down in our old nature, which is dead. Because we are a new creation in Christ. So now that we actually, I'm assuming, understand and believe that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is a free gift. And there's nothing you needed to do for it. And we have to ask ourselves, why did God give us this righteousness? And if you could maybe cue that for me at the back.
Religious, you're not measuring me for a robe, are you?
No, a breastplate of righteousness. I'm trying to get everyone I know to wear one. I've got a truckload of these babies.
I don't think you're supposed to get everyone to wear one. I think you're just supposed to wear one yourself.
How would that change everyone?
Change everyone? I'm just trying to change myself.
Change yourself? What kind of mission is that?
Where's yours?
I couldn't find one shiny enough.
So why then does God give us this righteousness? And as Christian said in there, he gives it to us so that we might be transformed. Because God wants to transform us. Because he's going to reveal himself in our transformed living. We are no longer slaves to sin or the old man, but we are actually a new creation in Christ. You can put up the next slide. Thank you. We are being transformed from the inside out. That's how God works. It's not what we do on the outside that causes and changes us. It's from the inside out, and that's God. And so he's going to change us when we get this revelation of his righteousness in us, that I am the righteousness of God. And from that position now I begin to live. And that's such a key revelation. We can't get it because our pastor tells us about it. We can't get it because we do it. We can't get it because we've made up our mind we're going to try harder. We don't get it because the righteousness, because I'm doing good stuff. Though all that thing, those things can come. That's not where we get it. We get it from revelation. Now, if we want to know, though, okay, I think I've got this revelation. I think my life is actually being transformed. Paul, in Romans, he wants to help us out. So what he does, he gives us a kind of a list in Romans 12 to 15, and that's what I'm going to be speaking on today. As a general guideline, okay, this is some of the things you should be seeing happening if you've got this revelation of God and his righteousness in you that you're going to see being worked out in your life. Now, what we have to be really careful of, though, is when he gives us this list, it's not a list that I can hold it up and I go, check, doing that, check, check, check. Oh, because I'm doing all these things, now I'm righteous. No, then again, you're righteous on your own works. We must never do that. Those are just evidences of God's working in us. And even more dangerous is if we take that list and we now begin to show other people and say, you're not righteous because you're not doing this. That's not how we're to use God's word. What it's to do is to help us look at it and say, okay, is this working? How is my life? How am I doing, God, in this thing that you've got for me? If you can put the next slide up there, please. We're going to look at Romans 12, 5 to 21. So God wants to tell us again, he starts off always with the most important thing that we're to do. It's about love. We spoke about it actually in pre-service prayer, and again, that God, it all must be done with love. Everything is done with love. And what's this love like? He tells us love must be sincere. And sincere is genuine, without hypocrisy, of good character, lacking pretense and prideful show. We're to hate, we're to abhor, we're to loathe what is evil. And we're to cling, to stick to, be united to stay near to what is good. So look at your life. Are you, when you see stuff that is evil, are you actually going no to that? And when you see stuff is good, are you like hanging on to it fast and holding and staying close to it? We're to be devoted to loving dearly one another in love. We're to honor, we're to value, respect, set a price on one another above ourselves. You know, as I was reading that, I just felt the Lord say, if we in this house would do that one thing, if we would look at one another and honor one another, if you would treat the person sitting next to you, whether you like them or not, but if you would treat them with value and respect at all times, and when you talk about them or anyone else who you know, that you talk about them with value and respect, this place would be transformed. And church would be a place where people would actually come and they would not know what to do, because they would never have seen people given such value and honor and respect. And you know, God gives each one of us incredible value, honor, and respect. So let's try and see how that we can do that. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You know who came to mind when I read that was Chris. Because if you talk with Chris, you watch him do worship, you talk with him about the Lord. I mean, he's been saved how many years now, Susan? Oh, 30 years or so. And that man does not lack in zeal. And, you know, isn't that true? You start talking about the Lord, you watch him worship up there. He is not missing any spiritual fervor. He's still got it. So just to encourage that, our passion, we talked about passion, Kevin again and Bruce talked about passion, that God wants passion. Dominic, I think, mentioned, actually, that was a word you gave in pre-service prayer about passionate, that God wants us to be passionate about him. We're not to be indifferent. We're not to be wishy-washy, passionate about him and the things of God. To be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Do you find that, you know, when you see someone's need and God kind of whispers something to you and you go, I don't know, maybe I should pray about that for another week or two before I do it. Or are you eager to say, okay, God, and just do it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Do you find that when something difficult happens, can you actually rise above that and you know that someone else is getting something that you really wanted and you're like, oh, how nice. But actually God says, you know what, rejoice with them. And because your time will come, and just to share one another's joy actually lifts you up as well when we rejoice with them. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And this is the big one, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because that's what God has done. That's how you know his righteousness is actually transforming you, because you are not going to let evil overcome you, but actually you understand, you have the revelation that God's righteousness can overcome anything, that we can overcome evil with good. Galatians 2:20 declares that we have been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. That's how we anchor it. Isn't that amazing? That as we know his word, and as we understand and we take this thing and we feed on it and we meditate and we understand what he's written in this, and we understand and we get revelation on his word, an amazing thing takes place. And Jesus describes that in John 15, that we don't have to make these actions, work them up. We don't have to, I'm going to, through my own striving, make them happen. But as we anchor into Christ, he is the vine, we're the branches. And what does he promise us? That fruit will come, and not just fruit, but lasting fruit. That we actually are transformed. We're not these little, we change, we go back. No, but we're actually transformed. And we have this incredible fruit that we begin to bear. And as a result of that, God's righteousness is revealed in our transformed living. Now, God wants us to live, not just talk about his righteousness. He actually wants us to live it. He wants us to live it in our circumstances, in our situations. And that's how people see it, and that's what really impacts them. You know, when I go and I walk the dog at night, sometimes I forget to turn the light off on the outside. And I go out in the daytime and I don't even notice that the lights are on because it's bright. But when it's night and I go out, I can tell when the lights are on. And you know, we live in a very dark world. A very dark world. But the great thing about that is that the light of Christ in you gets to shine all the brighter. It's very noticeable when you're in darkness, when light comes. And you know, we live in a really rotten, stinking, sin-filled world. And it smells. But when we have the righteousness of God transforming our lives, there's a fragrance that is attached to us. And what happens is people, they kind of, you walk past your coworkers, you sit down to eat with them at the lunch, with your family at home. And there's this incredible aroma that comes, and you just go, that is, what is that? You know, what is that? And you know, people know that, that they're having struggles. People know when they're not doing what's right. And if we believe that God, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and that we are to live these transformed lives, then we have to ask ourselves a question. And can I have the slide with the question, please? And that question is the way I live consistent with what I believe? Because if the way we live isn't consistent with what we believe, then something's wrong. And something has to change. So, if we decide that, you know what, we have two choices, change what we believe or change our behavior. So some of our behaviors, the good news is, we can actually take responsibility for and change. Okay, some of those things that, you know what, I can decide to speak kindly to people. Even when I'm irritated, I can decide to do things that honor people, that I can look for the good in them. I can decide to do those things. But if we want to change what we believe, and I'm not talking about deciding that I'm not going to believe in God or believe the Bible, but actually believe maybe change what we believe, other truths that we've kind of absorbed, truths such as I'm not worth being loved, or I will always fail, or there's no hope for this situation. Or the ever popular one of my favorites, if my spouse would just change, I would not get angry so much. Or if my children would honor me, I would do better, whatever. You know, that we have this tendency that looking at around there, that if all this would change, then things would get better for me. But how many of you know that as the authentic Christian said, we cannot change anybody? Taking me over 20 years to figure that out in my marriage. Poor Michael, he knows. God knows I've tried. But you know what? I cannot change him. The only person I get to change is me. We've talked about this before. And you know what you have to do? And you guys know this. is that we need to take this word and we need to meditate on it. We need to feed on it. We need to consume it, because what we feed grows. And what we put in our minds will determine how we think. And so when we want to change ourselves, we can't change other people. So God doesn't give me this to go around beating other people with. He gives it to me so that I can get revelation and then I can be transformed. So you need to take your word, you need to feast on it, and you need to just open yourselves to it and allow it to do what God wants it to do. Because what he does is he will show us things and he will reveal things to us. And you go to him, you say, okay, God, what have I believed? Are there any lies about you that I've believed? And you know, he'll actually tell you. And then you'll say, God, is there anything that I need to change in what I'm doing? And he'll actually tell you. And so you do confirm it with his word. Okay? You check in his word. Does it agree with what his word tells you? And you find out, yeah, he's told me this. And his word actually substantiates what he's told me. So then now I have a choice. I can choose to do it. And I just want to encourage us. You know, sometimes we think that it's too hard. I've done too much. It's gone too far. That I'm too covered in chocolate, in sin. There's no way that this can work. Can I have the next slide, please? But God tells us an amazing truth in Lamentations. It's because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. The Lord is my portion or share, says my living being, my inner self. Therefore, I will hope in him and wait expectantly for him. His mercies are new every day. If you haven't had revelation of his righteousness yet, if your life hasn't been exampling the transformed living, you can still do that today. But his mercy is new today. You are not determined by your past. Isn't that wonderful that God has said, we're not determined by our past. We're determined by our God and who we are in him. And he says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And do you know what happens when we decide, regardless of how hard it is, regardless of if we like it or not, regardless if we don't want to do it or not, but we say, no, God, you have said it. You've told me. You've showed me. I will do it. I just want to encourage you. You know, as Brenda prayed in pre-service prayer, no more wishy-washy. No more half in, half out. But you know what, God, if you say it, I don't care if I don't like it, and I don't care if I'm not happy about it, but if you tell me to, I will do it. I will live radically obedient for you, because that's what he wants us to do. Right? And that's when you start to see the power of God moving. That's when you start to get this incredible, dynamic, living, victorious relationship with him, is when we say, okay, God, that's it. I will be obedient. I will live radically according to you. And then we decide, you know what? I'm going to love your righteousness. I'm going to take this word and I'm going to study about your righteousness so that I know what it means to be righteous in you. I know what the righteousness of God is in me. I know what that means. And I'm going to love your righteousness. I'm going to pursue your righteousness. And what does he tell us in Psalm 47:7? He tells us what will happen if we love his righteousness. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Do you want to be anointed with the oil of joy more than anyone? Then love his righteousness. It will happen. It may not happen like this, though God can, because he's God, do that in our lives. But more often than not, it's as we go to him daily, sometimes moment by moment, hanging on to him and saying, God, I will love you. I will love your righteousness. I will hang on to you. I will live for you. Help me through this second, this minute, this hour, this day, that he comes And he does what only he can do. And you'll find little by little, your joy quotient begins to increase. And you'll find that you will have joy. And that what happens is that that joy comes and that his righteousness begins to transform our lives. And he calls us and he wants us, you know, God, from the very beginning, created us to live a life that revealed his righteousness, his goodness. Christ died to give us that life, to restore us into that right relationship. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us to empower us to do it now. You know, when we read at the beginning, it says that we are to live lives as kings and queens, as kings. If the kings and queens were to live life, it doesn't say that we're to live after life or when death comes in the next life, we're going to live like that. He actually says we're to live like that now. We're to live this overcoming, victorious, joy-filled Christian life now in the midst of whatever difficulties and circumstances we find ourselves. We're not defined by our circumstances. We're not defined by our situations. We're not defined by what other people say about us. We're defined by who we are in Christ. And we are the righteousness of God. We have a right relationship with the God who has created heaven and earth. With the God who even now is actually causing this whole earth to spin and operate and to function. The sun to rise, to set, the moon to be up, the wind to blow, the rain to fall, the grass to grow. All over the world, the stars are up. He's doing that. That's why they exist and are happening right now. And you and I have a right relationship with him. We can go to him boldly. We can talk to him. We can dialogue. He can answer us and dialogue with us. And he wants to say, okay, let's do these things. Let's show this world what I'm like. Let's take this ground back and make it the way it was supposed to be. And you can do that as you live a transformed life by my righteousness. So today, his mercy is new. Let's not be like the guy religious who said, I can't find a shield or a breastplate shiny enough, so I'm not going to do anything. But let's say like the other fellow, I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to let God, by his righteousness, transform my life. I'm going to say that his mercy is new for me today. And then with a passionate, abandoned, resounding, say yes to the righteousness of God.